This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06, and for our first story, we want to look at some recent calls to add new topics to our school curriculum. And well, the new one today is coming after the Primary Industries Minister Theresa Kok said that she wants information on palm oil and other commodities to be included in the primary school curriculum by 2021.
Yeah, it feels like recently there's been a few of these proposals to add new topics or subjects in our primary and secondary school curriculum. Because there was that one on voter education after Undi 18 was passed in Parliament, and there were calls to revise the history syllabus to make it more diverse and inclusive. And even recently, Latifa Koya said that it's difficult to introduce topics on corruption because of too much bureaucracy in the Ministry of Education. So, and now there's this suggestion to add information on palm oil.
Well, clearly there's a lot of hope and belief being put on the shoulder, young, small shoulders of young people. But just a quick bit of context, though, with palm oil, I can imagine that Theresa Kok would be very interested because Malaysia makes 44.8 billion ringgit from the palm oil. It's 3.8% of the GDP as of 2017. So it's an important, a very important sector. And if young Malaysians grew up to start having doubts about palm oil and started finding an interest in that non-profit making thing called jungles, it would be a problem, wouldn't it?
So it would be.
So I guess, you know, it's necessary to inculcate them with a knowledge of its importance in the Malaysian sectors.
But, I mean, I'm trying to think of why she wants to introduce it to primary school children right now. And I can't help but think that it's maybe related to the incident last month when there was an international school that did that play about the negative environmental impact of palm oil in Malaysia. And I have a feeling that this is a response to that.
You know, there have been continued calls for education to be less politicized, right? And in some senses, you can sort of view this as a way of politicizing our education system because you are trying to instill nation-building values. This is essentially palm oil propaganda you're trying to insert into the syllabus, right? I'm not sure what will likely go into the syllabus, but it does sound like, well, it might be on the same lines as, oh, this is why we should appreciate palm oil. But will that subject matter also include things like perhaps the environmental consequences of palm oil, or like the environmental consequences of the other commodities that, you know, that she might want to feature in a book? Because tin mining features greatly in our history. I think it's also featured in both geography and Kajian Tempatan. It really took away a lot from a country.
And I mean, we also have to think about if we add all these things to the syllabus, like how much of it is actually absorbed by school children, especially if she wants to introduce it in at the primary school level. So I just wonder, like is it worth the effort if not much of it is going to be absorbed or taken home by them?
Well, young minds are said to be plastic.
Super elastic.
Yeah, and, you know, great time to learn as many languages as possible and to learn the beauty of palm oil, obviously.
But there is that question of, do we follow the latest research in childhood development when it comes to designing our syllabus?
And whether the classroom is the best place to learn about these things, or is it something that is better done outside the classroom through, I don't know, at home or through your own experience in daily life? Maybe you go visit places or whatever.
And also, isn't this perhaps an opportunity now to hire a PR firm or an advertising company if you're trying to persuade people of the beauty of palm oil? We don't know yet. The details are scarce, how much information these young minds are being expected to absorb. But it's of interest, I think, to investigate how much can a young mind actually absorb?
Yeah. And that's what we'll be exploring later with Dr. Chiam Heng Keng, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council. We will be speaking to Dr. Chiam right after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. And we've been talking about this suggestion that's been put through by Primary Industries Minister Theresa Kok, who wants information on palm oil and other commodities to be included in the primary school curriculum by 2021. So we thought it'd be actually quite interesting to look into how child development research is whether that influences our understanding and how it comes to our design of our national education syllabus. So we're going to now cross over to Dr. Chiam Heng King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council. Dr. Chiam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Calvin. How are you?
Doing good. We hope you're doing well too.
Thank you. It's fine.
So how much information can kids absorb and retain when it comes to just being in school?
Well, it depends on, you know, how much information is given at that any one moment of time, how what is the method used, and whether the child is interested or not. And also depend on the experience they have, because what information they have, you have to build on previously what they know. Because the younger the child, the more the information must be concrete. There must be hands-on, like in preschool. If you give something abstract, they have no idea. So it must be something hands-on that can handle. And with the younger primary school children too, it needs to be very concrete. And then it's only with the and then when the foundation is built on, then they can build on and become more abstract. So I hope that gives an idea of how much information. But for, usually you find that the amount of information that anyone can, I mean, even with adults, any information that can retain depends very much on their interest. And also on how the subject, the topic is being conveyed to them and whether they have enough time to absorb the information.
So how long does this information usually last in school children?
It depends, I say, that on whether they're interested. If something that is interesting to them, something they like, something that they find it useful, something, if an information that they can be used, like let's say, for example, I was hearing about your palm oil. And if you take a preschool and you talk about the importance of palm oil, nothing will be retained. Nothing will be retained because they don't understand at all what it is. If you give it to primary school kids, it depends on how concrete the benefit is. Let's say they have already taken palm oil, and let's say they've done cooking, and they say that, this is... But if you say the importance of vitamin E and so forth, it doesn't mean anything to them. Or unless they will say, have been earlier formed, that, vitamin E is important, then they may can remember. So I think the amount of it remained, what they can retain, depends very much on the interest and how important it is to the child.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, I would imagine you have studied the way that things are taught in the Malaysian education system. Yeah. So do you think that there are ways in the school curriculum and current methods where teaching methods are perhaps failing our students in the ways that they need to, so they can absorb the knowledge?
I think, the preschool now, they tried get them to be as concrete, giving them hands-on play activity. But with the primary school and with it, it's still very, very, chalk and talk. And And in we also, the children are required to sit down and listen to what the teacher has to say. Then it, but there's very little of the hands-on activity. And even I'm told that science is taught without practical work. And I can't imagine how children can learn about the properties of material, how to manipulate the skills without hands-on activity. And so, and very often we also know that children learned for examination, and after they have already done the test, then they retain very little of what they have learned. But what is very important nowadays, and this is a general trend, because information changes in the what they learn, the information they learn now may be obsolete in about 5 years, 10 years. So now the stress is on skills, in thinking, being creative, being innovative, analyzing, synthesizing, critical thinking, self-directed learning, so that you go and look for information for yourself rather than the information is given. So even the case of like they want to learn benefits, it's not so much as telling them the benefits, but maybe to take them take them to a palm oil plantation, look at and grow, and then come and discuss, you know, what are the uses, what are the benefits. So that, in other words, the younger the child, the more concrete it has to be. So it is not classroom now, and very often, many like in Finland, Singapore, and all that, it is a skill. So it is learned from what they observe, and then they discuss, they tear the thing apart. And so it is only so it is the skills and not so much as the content that should be learned. So I think what is very important is that we should actually change our methodology of learning. Mm-hmm. And I think the children will be able to learn and to be critical and be able to understand more if we reduce the content and put in and teaching the skills. Of thinking, the thinking skills, then rather than just on the information.
Uh-huh. So, are some things better taught at home rather than at school? Because I'm wondering if the process of absorbing information is different in a home environment or a school environment.
Not necessary, but what the school can, the home can do is that the child will also be able to understand better and reinforce and remember better. If, let's say, the parents know this subject is taught in school, let's say, in the case of palm oil, let's say, and then they discuss, you know, what have you learned in school, what do you think of this, and then in the newspaper, they can actually look, and there's a topic in the newspaper, then they discuss. So what is very important is the reinforcement provided by the home, and not so much as teaching it as per se, but a topic that's taught and the home actually follow up in developing further, reinforcing the skills, the content of what has been taught in school.
So let's look at the role of teachers. You know, I think in some countries, their role is being increasingly seen as one of facilitators of learning instead of their traditional role in the classroom. So more guidance rather than hand-holding. Do you see this as a necessary change to make to better assist learning among young children?
It definitely is very important for the role, I mean, in view of the technology, because many of the information that they've learned in the classroom can be easily obtained from the internet. And when the child go and find the information to absorb it, it is better remembered than being just sitting in class and then the teacher just pushing in the information to them. So it is very important that today our educational system, that means a teacher training, should change. That the teacher should be taught how to be a facilitator rather than be just be a teacher. And the role has, because it is very, very important now that the teacher themselves, in order to be a facilitator, the teacher myself must be a thinking person too, be able to have the ability to observe, the ability to make inference, the ability to analyze, to be critically, the critical in thinking, and then to synthesize, put the things together, and make the inference. So these are the skills that the teachers must have in order to be able to transfer these skills to the children.
Doctor, I'd like to ask a last question here, which I think is a bit. I'm going to come at you from a different angle here. If let's say the children themselves were either able to design the curriculum themselves, or take part in choosing how to design a curriculum, and taking part in the learning process, what do you think they would do?
Well, actually, it's not new. It is, in fact, in early childhood, there's called Reggio Emilia, and that is the children actually designed that curriculum in the sense that the teacher would see what interests children, and they take it from there. And so the skill, and so what they do is that the content is not so important, because if it is a subject that the child is interested in, they actually they build the curriculum on that subject, but the skill is still based on the skills rather than on that subject. The subject is used as a means for the children to acquire the skills. So if the child is interested, they work harder at it. They'll be able to remember better. They have more questions to ask. They're more eager to go as self-directed learning, to go and find information. So that is not something new. That'd be wonderful if we can have that in our system. Then we will really produce people who are thinking, who are hardworking. Because if you teach, if the subject is not interested, is not interesting to the child, then they won't bother. They will just do the minimum, or they just do it to pass the examination, and not having the desire to learn, to have a lifelong learning. They want to get to learn more and more, and that is what we want for children to have that kind of desire, that they want to learn more and more. And this is what we hope to begin even from the early years, the early childhood. So that's where in the early childhood we're actually emphasizing on free play. Free play is they choose what they're interested in, and the teacher build on that.
Dr. Cham, thank you so much for joining us today.
No mention. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Cham Heng Keng, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, speaking to us about how childhood development and its research and how that should inform our design of school syllabuses, school syllabi, and also school curriculum. So if you have any thoughts about this story, we'd like to hear from you. We want to know, do you think our kids are overburdened, specifically primary school kids, with the amount of things that they want to introduce? You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
One of the things that I found interesting with what the doctor was saying there was how, and I didn't think of it, is that so much of what is relevant today when the child is in the classroom will not be relevant in 5 years' time. Mm-hmm. And a really good example would be, I think, stories about palm oil. Who knows? Who knows what the future is of that industry? So if a child is, say, going to primary school is what, about 5 years old?
Yeah. Well, no, they're going to primary school at seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Okay, so they go at seven. They're hopefully going to leave school earlier, 17. Mm-hmm. So 10 years later, you can't predict. You just cannot predict what will be. You need to be teaching. And the doctor was kind of, I think, perhaps even urging us away from using the word teaching because it's sort of top down. Mm-hmm. But you need to be inculcating or facilitating rather timeless issues or timeless strategies for coping, for living?
I mean, that's why a lot of the conversation about what's being taught in school is mostly revolves around teaching skills. And when people think about jobs in the future or skills that are needed in the future, it's usually about things like coding or artificial intelligence or things to do with tech and creative thinking and stuff like that. So, but in terms of to promote the, I don't know, preservation or sustainability of palm oil, maybe it's, what needs to be taught is not directly related to palm oil, but rather things relating to science. Like, so how, maybe later in the schooling years, how do you cultivate palm oil to become more useful products or learn the properties of palm oil that can be exploited and you know, can make money from?
You're struggling to find a way to insert it into the syllabus as well, aren't you?
especially into primary school, because I just don't get why she wants it to be in primary school, but she works in her own ways.
We'd like to hear from you, and we will get to some of the messages that have already been coming in after the 5:30 news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're still with Kelvin, Cam and Ayman on the Evening Edition. Earlier in the hour, we were talking about a call to perhaps add palm oil and other commodities into the primary school curriculum, and that's coming in 2021. So we wanted to know, is our syllabus just way too crammed, and what's actually the best way to get around it? So we have some messages and we have been asking your thoughts. You can keep sending them through 01878988899. It's the number to WhatsApp. You can call 7733 2900. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Anal says, when I was in primary school in the 60s, I was taught about rubber and tin. So why not oil palm now? There was pride in knowing we were the biggest producers then.
Well, I am very easily persuaded. and two, if it was done back in the 60s, that's good by me.
So we have another message here from another message here that reads, no need to go to plantations, just have palm oil on PowerPoint presentations, show fruits on PowerPoint slides and its uses. It's very easily done, and teach it as part of Malaysia, including tin and rubber. And lots of things remain in our memories. We are not overburdened. And of course, that was the other question we were asking. Do you think our kids today are just overburdened with the amount of things we are trying to teach them in school, from corruption all the way to palm oil and also democracy? And
yeah, that's quite a combination, isn't it?
It is a bunch of things. Wow. So we do have
also ABC in there as well.
So we do have a caller on the line. Ho, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Evening. I believe syllabus are not intense if they are well arranged. Right. Yeah. And I believe that if you compare what we have learned in the 60s is just as much as what they should be learning now. In fact, if the teacher can make things applicable to everyday life and make it interesting, the children should be very much interested, like what the professor was saying earlier on. Now, I had a teacher who let us see what's the application of specific latent heat. That was in the higher studies. It was related to fever, which we have, and why we shouldn't be taking several cereal and all that. Until this day, I can still remember why we do things and why we don't do certain things. And then I had another teacher in standard six, and we all agreed that he was one of the best, because he has a heart to teach more than just a syllabus, but a way of life in terms of leadership, letting us learn how to organize things in small ways, because after all, we were only 12. But he made things interesting. Take, for instance, a dry subject like history. He would ask us pick a handful of us and assign roles, like the UB Hang Tuah, UB Tun Pera, and you are Francis Lai and all that. Mm. Then the student would have to go back and read up about this particular character, and the rest of the class would also read up about these characters, and we play a game of trying to catch the actor or the role player on whether he or she has missed out any historical facts about that particular character. And when it came to exams, he wouldn't say, let us do revision. He would say, let us have quiz. Today we'll do geography. And he would divide us into the red house, blue house, all the four houses. And we would challenge each other by answering questions correctly. So it was really fun. Mm. And when looking back, he was really progressive. And I always believe, even up to now, it matters a lot, the teacher at the helm, leader in front of the class.
Can I just ask one question? Just to what's the name of the teacher and what school was this?
Methodist Primary School. His name is Mr. Tay. I understand he might have passed away, but whenever we have reunions, we are all really... We would talk a lot about him.
Yeah, well, it's just good.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, it's just good to have the name of an inspirational teacher said out loud and remembered.